Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net and click on our contact page and it will direct you to the various means that you can reach us. Just so you're fully aware, because this season's already has aired and you can watch it on DVD and Amazon Prime or various other means like that, we're going to have a different way of recording. So we won't be recording necessarily every week, but we're always going to post one a week. So if you did want to write in to us, depending on our recording schedule, you may or may not have your feedback read on the next cast or possibly the cast after that. So I just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. And or if you want, you can share us on your Facebook page or your Twitter page. And thank you for joining us today. We are now discussing Vikings Season 1, Episode 1. And this episode is called Rites of Passage. And for a full disclosure, we have seen this entire season as well as season 2. We are going to try to avoid spoilers and save them for the end. We are going to play some music in between our cast about the episode, about in between that recap and the spoiler section. You guys want to say anything about that or any thoughts about this episode before we get started in the recap?
Nah, just act quick when you hear the music if you don't want to listen to our thoughts about, you know, all the characters and their development and everything. But other than that, I hope everybody enjoys the show as much as we do.
Yep, that about covers it. Yeah, that's, I was going to say something similar to that, so we're covered.
We had a long discussion how we were going to approach this. So We want to be able to discuss certain things because it's more interesting knowing what has happened in season 2 and then seeing these characters again.
Kind of making it like a duality. So we're trying to make the podcast to where it can be enjoyed by people who enjoyed it for the same reasons that they did watching season 2 and then listening to the cast when everybody just saw it that first time. Mm-hmm. Then we could all discuss it. And then also by people who've already seen season 1 and 2 and they go back and can kind of be like, oh yeah, that's a good point. And then if you guys, you know, think of something that we're not pointing out about the character development that we might be discussing, you know, that would be a good thing to write in about.
Yeah, and that would be something we put in the spoiler section.
And what's our Twitter handle? At No Ship?
At No Ship Network.
Okay, sweet.
Our website's noship.net. Yeah, we didn't want to alienate anybody, so that's our compromise there. Okay, do you guys want to talk about your first impressions of the show before we got started?
I was a little hesitant at first. You know, the first, not when I first watched it, but when I had first heard about it. You know, it's coming on the History Channel, and I have watched a few shows, but it wasn't nothing like this for sure. You know, their shows are usually pretty informative, and this, I knew after the first, I'd say 15 minutes, that first scene, that it was going to be fucking awesome. You know, I mean, just when you see, you know, Ragnar and them on the hill and the crows and Odin, I was like, okay, they're really putting forth the effort to make this show good and not just, you know, like a 4-part mini series, you know, kind of kitschy.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I'm with Paul on this. I was a little bit skeptical too when I heard that the History Channel was going to do a TV show. I was like, yeah, I guess. But then I heard some people talking about it, like, you got to check it out. You got to check it out. And then when I did, I think I had the same impression. It was just like, you could tell right away. You're like, this is quality. This is, This is going to be decent.
Yeah, they spent some money.
I didn't have the skepticism because I hadn't watched History Channel in years because I haven't had access to cable in years or just whatever television. And, the History Channel actually used to be a cool channel that people watched. You know, that's the way I remember the History Channel. So I don't know what's happened to it. So I didn't have the skepticism, but I was like within, you know, the first scene and then the opening credit song, I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So I was taken with it just like you guys right away.
Well, when you think of top shelf TV, you know, you think a lot of stuff that comes to HBO, Stars, AMC, things like that. You don't necessarily think of
You think documentaries when you think
exactly. I mean, it's not a knock on the History Channel. Everything they do is top notch. It's just that I wasn't expecting them to come out with a cable network style show that was this good. That's all it was.
I just thought the idea was interesting that they would do something like that. So I wasn't skeptical. I was interested. So,
but once it started, I knew that it was going to be great.
Okay, so we are in the Eastern Baltic at the opening scene, and it's 793 AD. Episode opens up to a battle. Our protagonist, Ragnar Lothbrok, and his brother Rollo are fiercely and deftly taking out the men, even though they were outnumbered. Ragnar sees Odin, and it appears that the god is taking some of the fallen to Valhalla. He is awoken from the waking dream when his brother shouts for him. His brother did not share in the vision. Great music for the opening credits. We already said that.
I think they had taken some of those berserker mushrooms.
They might have. I like Ragnar's hair. That was one of the things I was also interested in.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, that's the last thing I expected was. I was always think Vikings, big shaggy dudes, you know, a bit long hair, not half shaved, braided back.
It's a style of hair that a lot of guys wore in the 90s, not braided like that, but they would have the shaved head from kind of like the ears up to,
yeah.
I had it.
And then you'd
Mike
pull
Patton,
back.
Faith No More.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. And then you pull it back in a ponytail. Yeah. I remember seeing a lot of dudes had that.
I did.
And Ragnar's played by Travis Fimmel, who's an Australian. And Clive Sandin plays Rollo. I think he's English.
They're taking all of our acting jobs. Eventually, it's not going to be any Americans doing shows anymore.
So now we're in Scandinavia, and we have Lagertha and Gita. They're fishing for, are those eels or some kind of just long fish?
Yeah, some kind of long fish.
Salmon, maybe? Oh. Trout?
Yeah. Who knows?
So Ragnar and son Bjorn are sparring. Ragnar and Bjorn are now inside their home getting dressed when Lagertha enters and asks what they are doing.
Getting dressed, duh.
Ragnar says he is taking Bjorn with him to the Thing.
The Thing.
Now, is that what they called it? Anybody ever actually looked?
Yes, it is called that. It's and that's for like local. It's kind of like every tribal area has their own thing, and then I guess they have at least in Iceland and possibly also over there, but they would have something called the All Thing when they would have multiple
that's
tribes
like a guy
get together.
Thing. What are we gonna call this thing?
Yeah. What are we going to call the thing that's bigger and better than the thing? The All Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, every 10 years they have the Super All Thing.
Have they named this yet? No, stupid thing, you know? Yeah. So they just kept it.
All Mania 5. Well, I remember reading on a website, it was something unrelated to the Vikings, but they was talking about ancient religions or ancient cultures, and I think it might have been the Saxons they were talking about. And they were talking about their, analogous thing to the World Tree. Yggdrasil, and it said that they held things around it with a capital T.
Huh. Yeah,
so
that must have been the thing they were talking about, huh?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
which the Saxons shared a similar like offshoot religion with them, so
that makes sense. So yeah, it is called the thing. That's just what they call it. So
that's awesome.
So Lagertha protests about Ragnar wanting to take Bjorn with him to the thing, and she says Bjorn is too young and. Ragnar insists saying that if they don't take Bjorn, who is 12 years old at this point, that he will need a silk ribbon.
So what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to be seen as a girl?
Or? Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. And I like seeing Lagertha, you know, it's like moms in history. Like they don't want their babies to grow up.
Yeah.
But, so another year would have been nice.
So that night in bed, Lagertha tells Ragnar not to sleep with lots of women while in Kattegat.
And he says, I think I can be okay for a few days, or I can go without it for a few days.
I think she knows better.
Well, they're pretty freshly fucked right there, so they're laying there all sweaty. We had this conversation before, so I remember Paul saying that, you know, women know to do that before.
Or men, too. Even when my wife goes on a trip, I make sure I put the moves on. You have to. You have to. You don't want them going out of town needing anything. I'm not wrong here. It's just the way my brain thinks, I guess.
Well, I guess there's a primal commonality to that thought, because she's thinking the same thing, too, you know. A Viking woman and a modern man, you know, they're sharing the same brain.
I mean, if you don't. It's your loss, too, because then you're going to get a yes anyway. So.
Okay, so he tells her, yeah, he can go without it for a couple days. Next morning, Bjorn and Ragnar set out, and they talk as they hike their way towards the thing. Bjorn wants to know what will happen at the thing, and Ragnar, I can't remember what he says.
Doesn't he say that this is where the Earl is going to tell us where we're going to go to raid for the summit? Mm-hmm.
And whether or not he's going to be a man, right? But don't they bring that up?
That's when they are camping. So they haven't actually camped yet. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, he's just talking about, I guess, raiding. They're going to find out about raiding.
But this is where he tells him that it's, you know, he wants more than this. Ragnar wants more than he sees around him. He doesn't just want to be a, you know.
This is where he says Odin gave up his eye for knowledge and that he mm-hmm. would actually do more.
Yeah. Yeah. He would give up a lot more. He says.
Yeah. So next thing we have Lagertha is teaching Gita how to use the loom. And some men are up to no good. They enter her house, these bandits. And we learn pretty quickly here that Lagertha can take care of herself. It's a great introduction into Lagertha's character.
So one guy gets a hot, like, poker or sword or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're worried about her, face. You know, and then all of a sudden it's her first signs of being a badass.
Doesn't she, like, take a fish hook and just catch one of the guys in the mouth? Yeah. And he screams, rather.
Yeah, she hooks him and drags him.
And she gives him plenty of chances to not be douchebags, too. Because mm-hmm. she's like, look, I'll give you food.
Yeah, if you're
hungry. I'll give you whatever you need, but that, you know. So, and of course, they're not gonna listen.
She says, you couldn't kill me if you tried for 100 mm-hmm. years. And
this was a better way to let us know that she's a badass than just telling us through mm-hmm. some sort of, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Exposition. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
like somebody
story
saying
about
it.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting to me when I watched it that, you know, you're just thinking, because, yeah, you do worry for her because modern women, it's just a different situation. Grab a pepper spray or run screaming or I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't know to handle ourselves like that.
Yeah. Well, some.
Or men.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different era in general. Men aren't burly and fighters constantly either nowadays. So it's just, it's hard to compare the two.
It just goes to show we live in a much safer society, despite Absolutely. What people say. Just because we're exposed to the media so much more.
Yeah, we can call the cops, too. She's not mm-hmm. calling anybody.
Yeah, it's true. And Lagertha's played by Catherine Winnick. We've seen her before in Bones. Okay. So meanwhile, Ragnar and Bjorn are camping for the night, and Ragnar is telling Bjorn how he gained Lagertha's hand in marriage. Ragnar asks Bjorn if he...
This is a bullshit story anyway.
Yeah.
He's talking about, like, choking a bear out or some other animal that he had to kill or something like that.
It was a bear and a hound.
A bear and a hound, yeah.
I think he speared the bear and he choked the hound.
Yeah, one or the other. And it's just like, yeah, right. You know, Bjorn doesn't buy it either.
Well, you ask him, is that what your mother told you? And he's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah, somewhat. More or less, sure.
Ragnar asks Bjorn if he is ready for his... arm ring and what does a man do? And he asked Bjorn if he could look after their family because there may be some changes soon. And this freaks Bjorn out. What do you say? He gets a little concerned about the.
Well, yeah, because he's like, well, he asks him what it takes to be a man. And he's like, well, first you have to fight. And he's like, yeah, but what else? And he says, and you have to look after your family. And he's like, do you think you could look after our family? And he's like, well, why do I need to? You're here to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so well, obviously Ragnar's already thinking about mm-hmm. what plans that he has. You know, that are above and beyond farming.
And it's a natural reaction from a kid that's 12, you know?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You want me to do what?
Forcing them out of their childhood mm-hmm. comfort zone there. So they arrive in Kattegat. Rollo is also in Kattegat, and they drink together, and they send Bjorn to bed.
Bjorn's first beer. That little kid's a good actor, because he just, fantastic. That face he has after he pulls the tankard down, and he's just like...
Like
it's hitting him that he's sloshed, mm-hmm. you know. He's like, what is this feeling? Because it's kind of good, but it's kind of scary at the same time because exactly. you've never felt it before, so you don't have that frame of reference, mm-hmm. you know. You're just like, oh, no.
Go to bed.
His name is Nathan O'Toole. And this episode is directed by Johan Rank, by the way. I didn't say that at the beginning. And, of course, it's written by Michael Hirst. Michael Hirst writes every single episode.
Which it shows.
Yeah, the consistency. Mm-hmm. So Ragnar now talks to his brother about sailing west. Ragnar reveals his new tools that he's acquired. And it's funny, you get like this little bit of backstory. You don't get a backstory, you get a hint of backstory because Rollo's like another wanderer. And Ragnar's like, this one's different.
The last time I got magic beans and they didn't work.
So we're to assume here that Ragnar's had somewhat of a history of kind of crazy ideas that he tries to get everybody else on board with, and they're just kind of BS at the end of the day. And Rollo's really just looking at it in that light.
Well, it's the older brother syndrome.
Okay, so do you think Rollo is older? Because we were talking about this.
We're not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Rollo's taller.
I could have sworn he says it.
Taller has nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm just saying he's taller. That might be why you think that. Well, it's like an optical thing.
The way that I look at it is...
I don't know who's older. I get the sense that Ragnar's older.
Really?
I don't know why. I just do. So it's not... There's no logic behind it. I just get that sense.
Well, in this scene, he talks about we're equals if we leave, right? Or is that in another scene following up?
It might be in this scene, because if he agrees to go with them. Because after he shows them the contraption, you know, and shows them about how, like, you would learn if you were moving too far south or too, you know, or on course or whatever.
Because younger brothers don't mind following. Older brothers have issues with following a younger brother, just so because kind of hierarchy in the family.
It would kind of fit that Rollo would be older if he was bringing up the equality thing, because he would want to make it known that, be like, look, you know, we have to be equals.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, just because this is your idea, you're not going to, like...
Which Ragnar's even like, whatever, because he's the younger brother. It just seems to fit. It just really seems to fit. And with the way that he's kind of condescending with his brother, like, okay, what'd you figure out now? You know, it's not even... Younger brothers are usually like, oh, what you got? You know?
Can you type in there who's older, Ragnar or Rollo, and see if something will come up?
Oh, here we go. On the History Channel, Clive's stand-in plays Rollo, the older brother of Ragnar, who jealously lives in the shadow of his kin.
Okay, so that's... Okay, so Rollo is older than Ragnar, according to the History Channel, so that is official.
He kind of looks older, too.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
It could be a trick of the facial hair.
Yeah.
They might have different moms. Who knows?
Probably.
Odin's their dad, but they have different moms.
Zeus did it.
True, yeah.
Zeus did it with everybody.
Well, when you're Zeus.
I don't think that equality conversation comes up till they're back at Lagertha's table. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so we found out that Rollo's the older brother. Let's just get back to what they were doing here. Ragnar's revealing these new tools that he had discovered from the second wanderer he's in, or at least as we know, second wanderer he's encountered in his life.
I got a new tool too. No, yeah. So
we have a sunboard and a sunstone. I know the sunboard, they've actually have evidence of that partial evidence I've seen images of, and sunstone I think is still up for debate whether they actually use something like that or not, but they think, you know, it was possibly made out of something called Icelandic calcite, right? So,
I like the way that the board works, though. I was thinking it was like an early compass, but really you're just watching for the shadow of the sun go across, so it's pretty genius.
I would have to work with that a couple times before I finally sunk into like how to use that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm not the guy using the compass.
No.
I'm a guy with an oar. Yeah. Oh, there he is.
I can, I'll dispatch the raven.
Yeah, it's...
I'd hand out the ham and cheese sandwiches at lunchtime. Here you go.
Don't swim after. Gotta say, like,
45
Spain.
Minutes.
Don't swim after.
Your braid is loose. You want me to tighten it?
Hold still, silly.
So now they're at the thing. The crowd is being entertained by a clucking man. The crowd is then told to be quiet when it is time for the Earl, Earl Haraldson, who's played by Gabriel Byrne, to enter. And he's also followed by his retinue, which includes Svein.
This guy is instantly dislikable.
Oh, yeah. Perfect casting.
Yeah, perfect casting. Whoever the actor is who played Svein did a great job, because I hated you right away. No hesitation.
Mm-mm. Hello. That's like his only like voice that he can use too. He can't get any louder. Call for help.
He's at 11 right now.
I need help. Somebody help. Sound the alarm. Alarm.
Ambulance.
That's awesome.
Go team go.
Go.
She said go team go.
It's very good.
He's probably saying stuff in the background the whole time. You just don't hear him, you know. And he's like, Ragnar Lothbrok is so cute.
He has such a beautiful braid.
It's the biggest braid in the whole catechism.
That's awesome.
It's all right.
So what's the deal with the Clucking Man? Because he's the first one that's accused that has to run the gauntlet.
He seems to me like a version of the town fool.
Mm-hmm.
His crime was stealing.
Right.
Yeah, the bumbling idiot. So maybe he's used to entertaining everybody. Or maybe it's a strategy by him to not get killed, just to run the gauntlet. Like, look, I'm the lovable idiot. Just throw some rocks at me and I'll be punished, you know?
See, I thought that, but they don't ask the crowd's opinion. It's just like right away he's sentenced to the gauntlet without anybody, no jury.
But you also
But he had already admitted to it.
Yeah. And you know a ruler's not gonna go against the crowd as much. I mean they will, but if everybody's like, oh, look at him, it's not that big of a deal, it still might make the Earl punish him less.
And they'd throw stuff not as hard at
possibly,
him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though they still throw
Well, Rollo definitely does. Rollo pegs him.
So I mean I don't know. I just think he's just like the town goof, you know.
It also could be a little bit of illustrating how, you know, the law works in a earldom, you know, there, because they're basically saying, Svein says there's going to be a fine. He has to kind of hold back laughter when he says it, but there's going to be a fine for anybody who fails to throw something at the, you know, at this guy. And so, and then a little bit later on, when they're doing more serious stuff, the vote has to be unanimous on whether this person is guilty or not. So it's kind of like showing you the all-inclusive nature of the judgment that's being passed on people who come before the Earl's Court. Yeah.
So the next accused has committed murder. He denies his guilt, and Svein asks, why did he not follow the law if he is not guilty? And the law states that you are allowed to pass two houses, but not a third, when a self-defense murder has been committed.
And this makes sense because usually families live close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, give me two houses and then let me tell, you know. But isn't that that guy's excuse,
that
too?
That is his excuse.
It's a big family.
So this is an interesting law, too, because it's basically saying that you can't, if you get into a dispute with somebody, you can kill them as long as you tell somebody right after, you know, right after you've done it, so they can start the process of making it judgment. Legitimized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only when it's done behind closed doors or not talked about.
Yeah, you leave the body there to get spoiled, and then they find it, and then they spend, and which makes sense, because then you spend all that time trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody's scared because somebody's running around just killing somebody. At least this way, if you come out and just say it, it's not as – they don't spend as much resources.
Yeah.
Just hope that that third house isn't family.
Well, apparently this murder arose because of a argument over disputed land. And the Earl actually has a barely perceptible reaction to this allusion. And then the Earl goes ahead and sets the punishment for execution.
Mm-hmm.
And he justifies his decision since the man did not follow the protocol of reporting to the house.
It's quite the pun. Well, I mean, it's quite the punishment, but it was murder.
And there's something else behind this, too, because the guy says, he comes out and says, you knew about this argument, and the Earl cuts him off.
Yeah. Yes. He says, you knew about the land and my claim to it, basically. And that's when the Earl tells him to be silent.
So we can safely assume that Earl Harrelson is benefiting in some way, shape, or form from this guy's death.
Yeah.
Yes. The room then votes, and it has to be unanimous. Bjorn's not raising his hand, and Ragnar had to jostle him to get him to do it.
He means you, stupid.
Do you think Bjorn was just kind of not aware of that he had to, or do you think he didn't agree?
Spoiler section.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just suffice to say that he didn't agree. I don't think he agreed, but why that's significant, we can talk about later.
Okay. So, the accused can choose the method of execution, which he chooses beheading.
Smart. Quick.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what the other ones were, like drawn and quartered, hanging. Blood eagle.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been anything. It just seems to be the smart move, just quick and easy. Hanging, maybe. You know, there's no telling with Vikings what they could have possibly done.
So the next thing we see the gauntlet and the beheading. And then we learn a little about how the Scandinavians approach death, how they kind of meet it.
Yeah, that guy's not even chained or anything. He just walks up and
with a smile on his face. And Bjorn asks about that, and Ragnar tells him that he wants to have a good departure, basically, because he's more of a chance to go to Valhalla.
Yeah.
So he must have already... I thought to go to Valhalla, you had to die in battle.
To me, it seems like you can go as long as... Well, the Earl says it, too, that he's not going to be able to get into the gates, doesn't he?
Yeah.
At the end of the scene.
He says it as a condemnation, though.
I think as long as you're a man about your execution or your death, then you have...
There's probably a couple different pathways.
Mm-hmm,
there's...
Absolutely. Like, in battle, you're guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then the other ways is if something happens and you meet it head on...
You have more of a chance, but not a guarantee.
Yes. That's what I take from it.
Hmm. And so, like you said, the Earl condemns him. And Ragnar says he's not supposed to do that. So is he not supposed to do that because nobody does that?
Well, I think he's...
Or...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't know, I'm just...
I think he's not supposed to do that because the guy met his execution without trying to run, flee, beg, plea. He met it like a man, and there was no reason to do that. You know, there just wasn't any reason to do that. He accepted his fate. Why would you go the extra mile and punish him from being able to get into Valhalla?
They're giving us a peek into Earl Harrelson's nasty character.
Exactly.
Right.
From the get-go.
It was unnecessary. It's like spitting on somebody's grave. Mm-hmm. This person is already dead. All of that's already been accomplished. Your secret's been kept. And now you're just being a nasty SOB.
Yeah, just salting the wound.
Right.
Yeah, so he's kind of taking the law of the gods in his own hands, mm-hmm. right? And deciding. And why does he think he can? So, yeah, we learn he's dirty. So next scene, Bjorn receives his arm ring. And upon receiving the arm ring, he has to swear fealty to the Earl. And when this is said, the camera's on Ragnar's face and you see a twitch in his response to this. And the boys are dismissed with a kiss from...
Siggy Stardust.
Just stay tuned. You'll know why we call her that.
Well, it's not obvious. I mean, it's... Her name is Siggy. That hasn't been revealed yet,
yeah.
But our nickname for her is Siggy Stardust.
So it's time to feast, but Ragnar is impatient about where they are going to raid. So he asks, hey, can we learn about this? And the Earl's like, no, we'll talk about it later. We're going to mm-hmm. feast. And Rollo's like, no.
Yeah,
why don't you tell us? And so the Earl announces predictably the next raids are going to be in Russia. Ragnar talks of another alternative. The Earl refuses Ragnar angrily, calling his ideas fantasies, and it's time to feast. So, during the feast, Ragnar is now summoned to speak to the Earl in private. The Earl is a dick about sharing food, and then tells Ragnar that Ragnar has insulted him, and it will not happen again. Ragnar attempts to leave, but the Earl is not done. I think it's fans like, who said you could go?
Yeah, a little twerp.
So... The Earl has some more threats regarding Ragnar's farm, his land. And then after Ragnar leaves, the Earl tells a man.
Who is that guy? What's his name?
But I don't remember. I might have it written down somewhere, but he's also got some interesting
he's got the
facial hair.
The hashtag douchebag facial hair braids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to be a tell, I think.
I know.
If you're a Viking and you've got the little braids in your mustache...
Bad news.
You know, if they didn't have like mirrors or at least good mirrors, so why aren't they like lopsided?
They probably had somebody do it for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some little slave maiden or something. Makes me look like a douchebag. Yes, Svein does it.
You want me to braid your beard?
That's his actual trade, you know. He's just kind of the herald for the Earl as a side job, you know.
Henna tattoos and beard braids.
I think he's a lost speaker, but I'd have to verify. Talk about
it. He's got to be. He's the one who does it, doesn't he?
I think he has to have all the laws memorized, mm-hmm. like, and they have to be able to, you know, summon that memory when needed when it comes to trials and stuff like that. So that's like a profession. So, but he's not a lawmaker.
Yeah.
So right, he's a lost speaker.
He's like the clerk of court.
Yeah.
And braid bearder. Or,
braid bearder.
Beard braider. Jesus.
Bearder.
Bearder.
Instead of beer me. Beard me.
Two braids are one.
So, yes. hashtag douchebeard is going to follow Ragnar.
Do you ever go and get a haircut and, like, the guy starts giving you a massage?
No, no. Yeah. I don't go to men, though. I always go to women.
Well, that's happened to me one time. Hmm. I went to this place. I'll tell you about it later. But, like, it was this old guy, and he just started doing that. And he just did it for, like, you know, like 5 seconds, just a little chop thing. But, you know, this guy seems like he would be that kind of barber, mm-hmm. you know, where he'd just get really into it.
Yeah,
just, like, you're uncomfortable.
Lean in to cut your hair and rest his junk on your shoulder or something.
Sniffing, taking whiffs of your scalp.
Yeah. Like, all your hair is going into a little baggie. It's not actually going onto the floor. Like, what are you doing?
So the next scene is a nightmare, and it's the Earl's nightmare where he's having a dream of what appears to be his son's dead and mutilated bodies. He wakes from the nightmare, and his wife lies beside him, also awake.
The sons, they're, you know, no real spoiler here, but it's not really going to turn up again as far as a visual. But can we call them Beavis and Butthead?
Butthead.
The first time I watched it, I thought it was the two guys that LaGuerta had killed. You know, because I remember bringing it up to y'all. It just seemed, it was just coincidence that it was two guys and then two kids, you know, his sons found dead in the ditch. But
her and Gita are out there digging that
grave. I thought it was possible.
With their trout forks.
But it wasn't, so.
So Ragnar and Bjorn visit a seer. Ragnar wants to know his future. And the seer tells Ragnar that the gods have great things in store for him, but they can, and see, but he also says, for you or for him? Mm-hmm. And then Ragnar's like, I'm just interested in myself. So that's interesting. But anyway, so the seer tells Ragnar that the gods have great things in store for him, but they can revoke their goodwill at any time. Ragnar wants to know how to get the gods to help him. And the seer talks about changing of the runes and that the laws of gods are above the laws of men. Ragnar takes this to mean he can take the laws of men into his own hands. At least it seems like he thinks that.
Yeah.
And the seer seems disquieted by this and then tells him to talk to the gods himself. The scene ends with Ragnar licking his hand.
Well, that's why he didn't want to ask about Bjorn. Bjorn wants to know is he's got to lick the dirty bastard's hands. Ugh.
I noticed that this was the first time, though, or the first and only time anyone went to the seer where they licked a hand, and then Ragnar puts his hand on his forehead.
Oh, yeah, he puts his forehead into the licked hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so.
Do you think they sniffed the hand first to make sure it's not the poop hand?
Well, it was Travis Fimmel's idea, the actor,
to lick the hand,
because I think they, read an interview somewhere where they were trying to figure out how to, like.
Seal it.
Yeah, kind of just end the scene with some sort of, like. Honor, or not honor, what's the word, like, not compensation, either
paid respect.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Hopefully the actor of the seer put, like, some pixie sticks on his hands or something, you know,
or just like
foul. Like, wash the hands and walk over with your hands in the air so no one can, okay, they're clean,
or at the very least some, like, you know, strawberry flavored Purell,
something,
you know, so where it's just like
it's still got the alcohol,
something, yeah.
Just whiskey. There you go. That will kill bacteria. And
it'll taste good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Whiskey. Okay. So Ragnar and Bjorn are set out to visit someone special, and it's Floki.
Floki.
I like this scene a lot.
Bjorn asks Ragnar, why did Floki not come to the thing? And Ragnar says, because he's shy.
Which is not the reason why he didn't go.
No, because I'm sure before, too, he'd go into town and get in trouble and then get stoned.
Yeah, Floki's not shy at all. So this is when Floki jumps out wearing a tree bark mask. He says some fairly prophetic things about Bjorn. And then Ragnar says that Floki is a boat builder, among other things. And we see Floki examine a tree for shipbuilding. Ragnar wants to know about if his boat's completed. Floki takes them on to a demonstration. This boat is different than the previous boats have been built, apparently. It is built with a strong central plank. It has two strakes about the central beam and are nailed directly to the knees of the frame. The strakes below are cleated and lashed, not nailed, which this allows them for more flexibility to handle rough waves. Mm-hmm. So instead of riding along the waves like a goat, it's like a, I don't know what he said.
A whale. No.
A lot of this stuff went over my head because I don't understand thing one about boat building. But I did get the impression that basically Floki is trying to say this isn't going to be a little pleasure yacht that you're going to sail around the fjord.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that you could take on long distances and it'll hold
up. Well, it makes sense because like if you nail something together, it's going to be extremely rigid. But if you lash it, it's just going to give it bend. So when it moves and goes up and down,
and
it's just
storms.
Not going to snap from the nails being in. It's going to give it some, you think would make it even more dangerous.
But... I didn't say everybody else was stupid. I just said I was stupid. I mean, well, you guys understand. Out, you know? I'm just joking.
I had to, you know, use closed captioning to get all that info. So
it kind of does make sense from, you know, like when you listen to what he's saying, but it was still a little bit over.
It doesn't seem as safe though, if you ask me. I mean, it really doesn't. Yeah. You're lashing it together instead of nailing it.
Because the lashings can come apart.
Yeah. But maybe that's the genius part about it is that he thought it through.
But you're not likely to get the norovirus on this trip.
No.
So maybe it's, you know, just on par as far as levels of danger with modern cruises. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I just keep thinking of those poor bastards who are on that one boat that lost all the power. It was just like a floating shit ship, you know, and it just pulls into...
I would have been living on the top deck I could find. The highest part I could get to, I would have a cot and a blanket. That's why you bring your own snacks.
Okay, so the hull is also deeper than the standard, which means that the hulls would have to be cut for oars. Ragnar wants to know if it will be strong enough for the open seas. Floki says they will not know until they try it out. And Ragnar gives Floki money for the anchor, and it's all the money Ragnar has left.
So we're assuming that Ragnar has been paying Floki to build this boat this whole time with whatever riches he's been winning from the raids over in the Baltic, which... It's kind of meager, as we find out a little bit later on with his conversation about, you know, with Rollo. Well, no, it's actually earlier because they were when he was talking about the little sundial thing that he had.
Yeah,
that's
talking about it.
And he was like, you know, those bastards over in the Baltic are just as poor as us. They don't have anything. Mm-hmm. So
Ragnar's now back at home and in bed with Lagertha. He asks if anything happened while he was away, and she thinks for a minute, and she says, no.
Nothing of note.
Yeah. So... You guys think she does that because she can take care of herself?
Yeah, I really do. Why bring it up if it was handled?
She doesn't want him to feel like he has to provide protection for her always. It's probably a prideful thing because she is a shield maiden, right?
If she kills somebody like that, does she have to go into town and tell somebody like that guy that killed someone in town?
That's a good question, but they came on her property and threatened her.
I know, but
I know. That is a good question.
Though, I think she just handled it.
She didn't kill them.
She didn't.
No,
she
so.
Just
killed them.
She sent them on their way,
oh,
like
then
screaming.
That's different. Yeah. They're not going to say anything because a woman handled them.
Yeah.
You know?
They might die a mile away, so I don't know.
That's their fault. That's their problem. No, so then never mind. Yeah. She just why bring it up if it was handled?
I think they're just trying to show us that she's a independent lady and she doesn't. You know, she doesn't need him to go cleaning up after her messes, which really wasn't a mess. She took care of it.
Yeah.
So they tell each other they missed each other, and they make sweet, sweet love.
This was a sexy scene, I thought.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, we've done podcasts before. Anybody who's been following us for a while knows we did podcasts on the Starz show, Spartacus, which is a complete 180 as far as the content of sex and violence. I mean, they leave nothing to the imaginations.
No,
you see,
it's in your face.
Yeah, literally sometimes. And this scene was, you know, when we first started doing that, I remember Paul was saying the sex is a little bit over the top and everything. And I remember going, well, I think it fits with the tone of the show. And I kind of still feel that way. But this scene really illustrated to me how less is more, you know, and I see what you're saying, because this scene was sexier than a lot of scenes in Spartacus because of what wasn't shown.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you still get the point.
Right.
It's just not dragged across your face.
It's like someone's holding the back of your head to the screen going, watch this.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if you don't want to see it.
So now Bjorn is sitting by the water when Rollo pulls up in his boat. Bjorn tells Rollo that his parents are having sex. It's dinner time. Rollo asks Gita if her mother is teaching her how to use the shield. And Gita's like, yes, I know how to use the shield.
I know.
God.
Stupid Uncle Rollo. Then we learn that Lagertha is a shield maiden at this point. Rollo asks about the boat. Rollo says he will not go unless they are in equal command. Ragnar says that they are brothers and they will always be equal. You get the sense that this is an ongoing issue. And Ragnar goes out for a piss. Rollo tells Lagertha that when he has had sex with another woman in town, he saw her face when they climaxed. She says, "Aw, that's too bad."
Yeah, gross.
And then she acknowledges his prowess as a warrior and points out his shortcomings as a man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate douchebag move, mm-hmm. is to wait until somebody leaves a
room.
Let
alone your brother.
I mean, it just makes it orders of magnitude worse that it's your brother that you're doing it to. It's bad enough to do it to, number one, a married woman. Number two, even if she wasn't married, she's with somebody already. Number three, that person's right outside. Then you add to all of that the fact that they're related. It's like, come on.
I know. D-bag.
So meanwhile, Ragnar sees Odin. Ragnar enters the lodging saying he saw something, and Rollo's like, "What? What'd you see?"
The stars. Some dirt.
You didn't see me hitting on your wife, right? And so Ragnar says what he saw, and he thinks it means he's doing the right thing. Then Ragnar and Lagertha head to bed. So now, the last final scene, we have Floki, Ragnar, and Rollo trying out the ship. Floki is nervous about the ship's capabilities suddenly, but the ship stays true. And now it's all up to Ragnar Lothbrok. And we see that they are being watched by the Earl's hashtag douchebag lackey. And the episode ends with the Earl brooding over a cup of wine or something.
Piss.
Whenever somebody does something like super shitty in this season, mm-hmm. I'm going to give them a douche braid like rating.
Yeah,
a douche braid rating from 1 to 10. I think what Rollo did was about a 7.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we are going into the spoiler section. So if you don't want to hear any of the spoilers for the following, season season 1, or season 2, stop right now. Music's going to give you time to get to your device and turn it off. So heed that warning. You've been warned.
I know. Don't yell at us. Don't yell at us.
Listen to Sven.
First order of business.
Warning.
Spoilers.
Spoilers section. All right. Okay, so spoiler section. So anything you guys want to talk about that's fresh on your mind that you want to get out there?
Yeah, Bjorn in The Thing. You guys were asking, do you think that he didn't raise his hand because he didn't know to raise his hand, or he didn't believe that? I've always liked Bjorn because I feel like he has a gentle soul. Like,
right.
He's a good person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? He can be a little bastard sometimes, but he's a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when he deals with Athelstan at first and stuff like that. But I think he's always had a good heart, and this is the first time you really see it. And it keeps his character consistent all the way through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, that he was also the last person. He had to be goaded to throw that piece of cabbage or whatever it was at the chicken man. So,
see, I think more of it being him not knowing that he has the right to vote. You know, because he just got his armband. So, I think it's his first time that he's, I don't think he knew. I really don't think he knew that he was supposed to vote on whether or not, he was going to be killed.
You're probably right.
But he does have a gentle soul, too, so it fits either way.
Yeah, yeah. I could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably, for practical purposes, it is the fact that he didn't realize.
Yeah.
Because he's not used to being included in anything, because he just got, quote, made a man 5 minutes ago by Stardust. So it's like he's not.
Well, thank goodness he didn't become a man like the King Horik's son did.
Oh, yeah, really.
Elendor.
Yeah, but it does show
with Ragnar watching.
Ugh, God.
With Siggy gets passed around. She's
That's why Rolo just gives Iggy her fist bumps later.
Yeah.
Icky Ziggy.
That's why Rolo's like keeping it to the high five, yes, you know. Months from now, he's going to be walking around, you know, just playing basketball and taking naps. And she's going to try. Oh, no. I still hurt. The fist bumps and high fives for her.
But you're right, though. It does show, you know, the way his son acts all the way through. He does have a heart. So, I mean,
yeah, the idea of it, I like. Mm-hmm.
And then whenever that guy gets beheaded, you know, and then Harrelson is like, and curse him and this and that, and he's not going to Valhalla. And he's, you know, Bjorn is indignant about that. He's just like, why did he do that? He's pissed off.
Yeah, he can smell Duschbeard from a distance.
So we kind of talked about Lagertha being protective of Bjorn, but, you know, we see how that later changes in a way. She slackens the leash quite a bit.
Yeah, well, she's a good mom. You know, when she does that, she realizes that her son's older and can handle himself a little more. I think she's just a little protective of her son.
I just remember when he wanted to go in the cabin and go, you know, test his own limits, how proud she was. And that's like a big change from this, obviously.
Yeah, she still has a ways to get there because remember, like, in a Cupping Up, I think it's probably like, what's episode 4 or 5 or something like that, she tells Athelstan, like, you watch these kids or I'll kill you, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so she's still, you know, got the apron strings attached, mm-hmm, as they say.
Did you have something, Paul?
No. I mean, you guys covered everything other than just, you know, how the Earl, seeing the Earl again early, and, you know, they really don't hold any punches on how much you just don't want to like them all the way through. And then seeing Rolo start going through the douchebag phase. It's like, I'm so glad that they made the change in the second season.
Well, I had mentioned, I don't know if it was during the podcast or before we started the podcast when we were deciding what format we were going to use. I wanted to talk about Rolo and how they make him instantly likable. Mm-hmm. But you took issue with that. You don't think he was instantly likable in this episode.
Not at all.
I see what M's saying, because right at the beginning, it's all right. But then the second he gets to his brother's house and starts talking shit, it's like, you fuck.
Well, when we first see him, he's fighting with Rolo and everything's good, you know, in the Baltic. And then sometime later when they get back, they go to Kattegat for the thing and he grabs Bjorn and he's being a good uncle, you know, with the head noogie rubbing and all that kind of stuff, you know, like what uncles are supposed to do. And then, you know, he's watching Bjorn whenever Ragnar has to go talk to the Earl and stuff like that. And it seems like he's being, even when their conversation about the sundial and stuff, or the navigation device, whatever we're going to call it.
You detect a shadow there, though. There is an undercurrent.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sibling rivalry and tension, but there was nothing there that would lead me to believe that he was, could be eventually capable of what he did.
And then when they're at the gauntlet, both Ragnar and Bjorn just toss their thing, and Rolo just, I mean, he throws it with some might behind it at the guy.
See that? I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, like you guys pointed out, once they get to
I started to dislike him.
The Ragnar homestead, it's different. When did you start?
When he makes the comment to Lagertha.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely.
Dude. And then right in the second episode, when they go visit Floki, you know, and all that happens, and he rapes and...
It's going to be interesting, I think, because of Rolo, watching this season, because I mentioned when we were trying to decide how we were going to approach this, that there's a duality within him. So I think that's his arc in this. He has to figure out which one he's going to let
absolutely
be in control of him, you know, and that doesn't actually really coalesce until the next season. But it's interesting because that's why he seems to waver. You know, you have him being a dick one scene, the next he's given like a thirsty man some water, you know, before he steals his pitcher. You know, there's stuff like it almost seems like it's confusing, but it's not, you know, when you know the whole picture.
Some people have to go through crap to be a good person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to experience life to figure out who you are sometimes.
What does Rolo do? We know Ragnar's a farmer and, you know, he has a wife and kids, but Rolo just seems to be like
he's a warrior.
Well, we know he's a badass killing machine, but like when they're not raiding for all those winter months, when they're not raiding, what does he contribute to society? Like, what does he do?
He probably subsists off of raiding.
Mm-hmm. His cock rages on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably apparently. He's raping slaves and, yeah. eating in halls and waiting for the next raid.
The only other thing I was going to mention was when we first see Floki, and I felt bad for ever doubting him.
I know.
I felt this wave of guilt. I was like, how could I ever think? How could I ever think? But they did such a masterful job in season two of making you think that was going to happen.
You can hug yourself at Halloween, and it'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm going to be Floki for Halloween. So
we'll put pictures up.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for listening. That's the end of our episode today. And we'll post the next one on episode two, which is called The Wrath of the Northmen, right? Mm. Yeah. So that's next episode. All right, I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.